Someone told me the other day, man, I can't wait till the millennium. We're going to be reigning with Christ 1,000 years. And I said, praise the Lord. But why don't we reign with him now? Why don't we reign in this life right now by one Christ Jesus?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
We want to wish you a happy Monday. We're so blessed that you're tuning in for Pastor Bill's continuing study in the New Testament epistle of Galatians. Today, Pastor concludes the message that he began on Friday, when the Spirit has his way. Let's join the study.
I want to be a person that keeps, when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. Amen? You know, the Bible, one of the psalmists, I think is Psalm 15, probably wrong, could be Psalm 18, doesn't really matter. It says, I swear to my own hurt, I change not. In other words, I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. That's what God wants us to do. God is faithful. The faithful God is living in us. Amen? Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, that most men will proclaim each their own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Proverbs 25, 13, I like this one. Like the cold of the snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. And here's the reason, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Faithfulness. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? Am I faithful? You know, I read an article yesterday, and it just goes along with what I'm saying right now. It was a very sad article. It was just released on the condition, if you will, of Christianity in America. The article was entitled this, How Christians in America Have Lost Their Credibility. And here are the statistics of what they said in this report. 37% of Christians don't think prayer is essential. I could not believe that. Can you believe a believer, a Christian, not thinking that prayer was essential? Prayer is over the top essential. Amen? Man, listen, prayer is the work. Asking, seeking, knocking is the work. Man, we have to do that. Men ought always to pray and not become discouraged, not faint, not give up. That persistent prayer or that persistent praying. Jesus said, don't ever give up. Don't ever stop. Listen to the next one. On a typical Sunday, only 20% of Christians attend church, which means 80% of American Christians don't. They're not there. Think about that. Why is it today more than ever that the majority of the church, you know, about every third Sunday or every fifth Sunday or whatever, instead of every Sunday? Listen to the next one. This is unbelievable. 40% of church-going Christians read the Bible maybe once a month, are rarely or never. 40%. How in the world can we not hide God's word in our heart? I don't want to be in any percentage with those people. I'm not being critical. I love people. But I don't want to be that. I don't want that at all. Listen to this one. Only 10% of churchgoers give 10% or more of their income on Sunday. Isn't that sad? That's true. It's true here. As a matter of fact, it's about 8% here that truly tithe. Isn't that sad? Just think what we could do. You know, I'm reaching out right now for the clothes and the shoes for the children for Candy Cane Christmas. You know, to other people, to companies and all the rest. If we all truly gave, not grudgingly, but God loveth a cheerful giver, amen? I wouldn't have to go out and hustle for anything. I'd just write a check, amen? Listen, he who hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto God, and God will pay back what has been given. Amen? Listen, I'd write a check right now for $100,000. It wouldn't bother me. Why? God says, I'm going to pay it back. I don't care how he pays it back. I'm not saying, okay, let me give it back, Bill. No, it could be. Who knows what God wants and how he pays it back? The way he does it would be better than anything we can imagine or think. Amen? Do you believe that scripture? I believe it with all my heart. God built Love Never Fails International on that scripture. Oh, God is so good. Oh, listen, and here's the last one, talking about winning the lost. This is what really got my attention. Listen carefully. They said the greatest key to reflecting the fruit of the Spirit is this, that you never really have to witness to the lost. Let me tell you why. When you exhibit love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and all the rest of them, okay, here's what happens. The lost, they come up to you, and they start asking about your lifestyle. They ask, why are you living such a joyous life? Because it astonishes those outside of Christ. Oh, when the Spirit has His way. Loved one, listen to me now. I want you to look at me in this body that is perishing. My inward body, nature is not perishing, okay? But in me right now, in you, if you're a believer, listen, I have God's love. I have God's goodness. I have God's long-suffering. I have God's kindness. Do you understand? I have God's joy. I have God's peace. His very peace. I have it all right in me right now. How can a Christian walk into the world and all of those incredible supernatural fruit not want to jump out on someone that's hurting, someone that's lost? Where you want, just being kind, can I help you? Can I help you put your groceries? I do that all the time at Kroger. You know, they're old people. I'm going to be there one day. I want somebody to help me. And can I put the groceries in your back? I'm not going to shoot you. I'm not going to rob you. It's okay. I'm just going to help you. You know, get that look. Yeah, you know what I mean. Old people are that way. And they need to be that way. But you see, it's in you, and it starts jumping out. If it's not jumping out, there's something wrong with you if you're a believer. You see, that's what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. That's what it means when you give the Holy Spirit His way. It's all of it's in you, and you're just wanting to get out of you to the world, that love that God has. God loves people, man. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. I look and I say, oh, God, that's what I want. I want that. Look at the next one. Gentleness, or literally the word means meekness. It's a picture, a word picture in the Greek of a little wild colt, and that you go out and get the colt and you tame him, and he comes under the control of his master, if you will. And so this meekness here, Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, right in that area, he said, blessed are the meek. Oh, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Being meek, men, listen to me, doesn't mean it's not letting people run over you and where you're a doormat and you're just meek little. Somebody called me a meek pastor one time. Boy, I wanted to show them. You know, No, what that means is that when others want to run over you, you have inside of you the power to act otherwise. Amen. So you can stand there and be meek and go, oh, man, I have God's power. I'm under control of Him right now. If not, you would be down. No, do you understand? See, but I don't have to do that. I don't have to punch that person out. I don't even have to retaliate. I don't have to fight back at all. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this about meekness. He said, meekness is not easygoing. Meekness is not niceness. Meekness is not peace at any price. Meekness is when you stop defending yourself and realize that nothing can harm you. I love that. When people come against you, oh, you can be meek. What did Moses do? I was telling the first service in Numbers 12. Remember Miriam, his sister, Moses' sister, and his brother Aaron. They came and they were jealous of him. And they said, are you the only prophet around here? You know, we can prophesy too, and whatever, you know, goes on and on. And it says, the Lord heard about this, heard him. And he says, you three, Moses, Miriam, and Aaron, to the tabernacle of meeting right now. Wouldn't you hate God to tell you that? And God says, you know, in other words, let me paraphrase, who in the world you think you are? He says, you know, other prophets, I speak to them, some by visions. I speak to some prophets, you know, by dreams. But to this man, Moses, I speak face to face. Moses, she just spit you in the face, man. And you know what? I'm going to take care of it. And what happened to Miriam? Leprosy. Man, her body. Aaron goes, oh my gosh, her body's being eaten up. Oh, God, please. And Moses, what does he do? He intercedes immediately. Meek Moses. The Bible says in Numbers 12:3, Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Think about that. He says, oh Lord, please heal my sister. Don't, please, Lord. And God, you know, he said, well, tell you what, I'm going to lock her up for 7 days. After 7 days, I'll let her back in the camp. But everybody just stop right now. What did God do for Moses, the meek man? See, God defends those who are meek. God fights your battles. You don't have to retaliate. You don't have to do that. I know your old man wants to, but he's dead. You understand? That is a tremendous quality to have, loved one, that fruit right there. And look at the next one. You need that, and I need that every day, self-control, because there is an ongoing, continuous war, a struggle for supremacy of my heart, the slave in me and the spirit of the living God, loved one. No, that's self-control. You'll never have victory. I will never have victory over the sins of the flesh without self-control, meaning the controlling of self. But here's the good news. This self-control that we have is from God. Do you understand that? It's not a human quality. It's a God quality. I mean, I can handle it. I don't have to retaliate. I can say no because greater is He who is in me than he that's in the world. Do you understand? And I say, oh, Lord, all of these incredible things that you have placed in us. I don't have to explode in anger. I don't have to get even. I don't have to gossip. I don't have to do any of those things. I just have to love people. I just have to be led by the Spirit of God. I just want Him to have His way. I want all of your love to just pour out of me to other people. That's what we should be doing. We're the church. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. That's incredible self-control. And then Paul, the apostle, says there, those last words, he says, when the Spirit has His way against such, there is no law. Paul is saying there's not any law anywhere that can produce this, the fruits that we talked about. None. Your self-effort, you can't do it on your own. Does that make sense? See, we can't do it at all. Man, this is a picture of Jesus Christ living in us, where we go from glory to glory to glory into His very image. And then he says in verse 24, for those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And I want you to really key in on this scripture, because this is really the key right here. And we may look at it differently or not the right way. Let's look at it one more time. Those who are Christ, meaning those who are born again, those who belong to Christ, those who are in the vine, okay? Those who belong to Christ, look what's happened, have crucified the what? That's the slave in you, the old dethroned nature, the old you, the old Billy, okay? It says, have crucified the flesh, and look what it's crucified with. That word with is very important. Its passions and its desires. Now listen carefully. This has, it does, but it doesn't. It has nothing really to do about giving up sin, giving up passions, and giving up the desires of the flesh. What it has to do, though, is about the giving up of yourself. That's the key to all of it right there. This is about, okay, you've been crucified now. This is denying the slave in me and giving the Spirit His way. This is not the natural life. This is now the supernatural life. Amen? Yeah, we belong to Jesus. Listen, those who belong to Jesus, it says, look, self has been crucified. That's past tense, okay? It's already occurred. The slave is dead. We can be done with him. Why? Because we're not seeking to live a crucified life. We have already been crucified. Amen? When Jesus went to the cross, He died not only for me, He died as me. Amen? Amen? I died. Somebody says, I died 2,000 years ago. I died on the cross. When Jesus died, I died. When Jesus, when He was buried, I was buried. When He rose, I rose with Him to walk in a newness of life. Amen? We are right now, our perfect, wonderful position. We are seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. Right this minute, it's a final done act in the eyes of God. Live out your calling. Become what you are right now. That's what Paul is saying in this word. Man, how do we do that, Bill? That's our position. The old man's dead. Yeah, you reckon him dead. By faith, you appropriate this divine word, this divine promise from Almighty God of what happened on the cross. Listen, it is time. We live in a time today, and I know I say it and people may, Bill, you're just depressing, but I'm not depressing. Do you want me to lie to you, or do you want the truth? The truth is everything is decaying. Everything is falling apart. Loved one, when a mother who has a 7-year-old boy has to go to court on whether she can chemically castrate him, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with this world. Of course, come on. There's something wrong. We are the answer. All all that God is, he poured into you, into me. We have the answer for every person that doesn't know Christ Jesus. You understand? I look and I say, oh, God, oh, how we need to move forward in this. We need to walk out the adventure by the power of another. But here's the key. There's only one way we can do it. There's only one way for the church to regain what they're losing today. And they have to lose their own life. You hear me? They have to lose their life in order to have life. Jesus telling the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinners. They're going to crucify me. But don't worry, 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. And then he looks at them, and he looks at them all, it says in Luke 9:23. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, here's what the conditions are. He says, you must deny yourself. Then the command, you must take up his cross daily and follow me. And then Jesus said something else right after that. He said, for whoever it might be who desires to save his life, go live your life. And it says, you will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me, for Jesus, will find it. That's the key, loved one. That's how the Spirit has his way. I deny myself. That word means to completely disown self. It means to say farewell to the old person, the old man, the slave in me. It says to say goodbye. Listen, if you don't deny yourself in the Christian life, it's no longer my will, it's his will. Amen? If you don't deny yourself, you know what you're going to do? You're going to live for yourself. And loved one, if you want a God-centered life, then you have to follow him. If you don't, you're going to live a self-centered life. There is no self-denial if the Christian is not following Jesus Christ. There's none. We could be the greatest generation in Christianity. We could turn our world upside down like they did because, you see, the Holy Spirit directed the activities of the early church, not councils, not committees. Do you understand? Oh, loved one, listen. That's what we need today. Jesus said, you follow me. There's only one way to follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit has to have his way in your life. Jesus said in John 10:38, he who does not take up his cross, follow me, not worthy of me. Luke 14:27, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my what? Disciple. The Bible says that we were first called Christians at Antioch. Before we were called Christians, or they were, what were we called? What were they called? The way. What's the other one? The main one. Disciples. Disciples. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I am right now. That's what you are. I am a learner. I am a pupil. He is my master. And the only way I can learn from him is to follow him, to yoke myself up with him. Amen? Oh, his yoke is easy, loved one. It fits you perfectly. He will train you. He'll do all of those things. The next verse, if we live in the Spirit. Oh, but we do. If we live in the Spirit, that means life, real life. If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Conceited. I told the first service that word means having an ego bigger than the church. Provoking one another means to irritate one another. That's what the slave does. I don't want any part of that. If we live in the Spirit, let us then also walk in the Spirit. Now listen, the word walk here in verse 25 is not the same in the Greek as it is in verse 16, the command, walk in the Spirit, okay? And you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The word walk in verse 16 is a different word in the Greek, and I like to do this because I spelled it out perfectly so I can say it, peripeto. Isn't that right? Don't you like that? Peripeto. Peripeto, that means this, an ongoing, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, that you go wherever he wants to go. Amen? That's what that word means. But here in this verse, verse 25, it's a different Greek word, and that Greek word is stoikeo. Let me say it again, stoikeo. Don't you like that? It makes me feel like I can speak Greek or something. I can't do anything. You know how come I know that? Like I told the first service. I said, I have it on my Bible software when I'm looking up Greek or Hebrew words and I want to know how to pronounce them, which I need to know because I don't know. I punch that button and it goes, perikeo, perikeo. I'm in my study, you know, at home and and Becky's in the kitchen. Of course, my study's the laundry room, so we're right there together, right? So I go, Barry Kao, Barry Kao, Barry Kao, Barry Kao. She shuts the door on me. I drive her crazy. Now, let's get back to the next word. Yeah, stoikeo. That means this here in verse 25. It means to make progress. It means to move forward on a journey. I like to say moving forward on the adventure with the Holy Spirit. It means to put, literally in the Greek, one foot in front of the other, to walk in unity or to walk with or to keep step with the Holy Spirit of the living God. It also means one other thing. It means the ABCs, if you will. It means like a little child learning the elementary truths. It literally means then learning to walk. Have you learned to walk with the Holy Spirit? Have you? Do you want to learn to walk with the Holy Spirit? That it's a process to know Him, to hear His voice, to know when the Holy Spirit rises up in you, to know what you could be sitting at the table, the supper table, or and the Spirit of God just manifest Himself. It's glorious, wonderful life, the life of the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, oh God, then walk in the Spirit. How do you do that? You have to say farewell. You have to say a final goodbye to the slave in you. You see, it's either going to be Jesus or you. Galatians 2:20, what did Paul say? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live. Amen? It's not me living anymore, but it is Christ who lives in me. That's the life. Jesus or you? Which one do you want? You know, Oswald Chambers said this. He says, beware of refusing to go to the funeral of your own independence. What a great word. Let me read it again. Beware of refusing to go to the funeral of your own independence, meaning the old dead man. Go put him in the grave. Leave him in the grave. Reckon him dead. Yes, he wants to come up occasionally, but put him back down. Amen? Why? You can. Why? You have self-control. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit is greater than the old man. You put the death, the deeds of the sins of the flesh, it says in Romans 8, by the Holy Spirit, not by you. You can't do it. I can't do it. But the Holy Spirit, He can do so. Someone told me the other day, man, I can't wait till the millennium. We're going to be reigning with Christ 1,000 years. And I said, praise the Lord. But why don't we reign with Him now? Why don't we reign in this life right now by one Christ Jesus? Right now, church, I'm talking about really living, not playing church, not playing Christian, but really doing so. The only way that's going to happen is when the Holy Spirit of God has His way. I was listening to a man, and I'm closing, but I was listening to a man last night, someone that I really have enjoyed for over 50 years, and he made a comment. He was talking about his life and the hurt, the tragedy, and the things that he did wrong, and how he went and tried to make amends to the people that he had wounded and the people that he had hurt. When the show, or it was actually a documentary, when it was over about his life, he's in his late 70s now, and he made a comment. I wrote it down. It was so powerful to me. He says this. He says, time is the final currency. What a word. Time is the final currency. Time. Here we are. A to B, birth to death, and all the in-between of living. Some of us are closer to going home than others are. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour, do we? No, we don't know. Listen, you see, you can manage time, but you can't retrieve time. You can't get what you've lost. You can't get it back. If you are a believer, I beg you in Christ's name, and I do it with such tender love toward everyone, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Let the Spirit have His way.
Pastor Bill will continue his study in Galatians on tomorrow's program, so please tune in again, won't you? My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, thank you for listening today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth.
For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.